The Lord is on high. He sits high. He looks low. For the Christian, it's a comfort to know, first of all, that our God is exalted far above His creatures, but that He still is very involved with His creatures. And indeed, the world would be a depressing place if God were like the deists declared that God made this world and then vacated it. But I'm glad that even though God sits high above His creation, He has respect unto the lowly. He takes notice of the lowly. I want to notice two things about God in my text. First of all, the height of His glory. And secondly, the reach of His grace. First of all, the height of His glory. The psalmist declares in my text, "Great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord is high." The prophet Isaiah declared concerning Jehovah, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." At least 36 times in the Scriptures, God is referred to as the Most High. Psalm 91 and 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The Most High is the same one as the Almighty. The Most High, the Almighty. Daniel records that as a result of his pride, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was stripped of his throne, made to eat grass like an ox, until, Daniel says, "Thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will." The Most High ruleth. Hallelujah. He ruleth in the kingdom of men, and He giveth it to whomsoever He will. This designation of God as the Most High indicates that there's nothing and no one above the Lord. He is the Most High. He answers to no one. He takes orders from no one. He bows to no one. He fears no one. He cannot be taught by anyone. He cannot be compared to anyone. He cannot be succeeded by anyone. He is now and forever the Most High. Hallelujah. Oh, there's none like Him. In all of the universe, God is the Most High. As Creator, God is greater than His creation. He's greater than any individual part of that creation. And He is greater than the composite whole of that creation. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, after Solomon had gotten through building the temple, that glorious temple, and prayed his dedicatory prayer, he said in his prayer, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded?" Solomon said, "How can God dwell in this building when the universe cannot contain Him? He fills the vastness of the universe, and yet the universe cannot contain Him. He contains the universe in His infinite being. The universe can't contain Him. God is the Most High. Now, God never intended for the creation to contend for His glory. He intended for His creation to bring Him glory. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. God intended for His vast creation to declare the glory of God. But the two highest order of beings in the universe have sought to rob God of His glory. Angels rebelled against God, sought to unseat Him from His throne. And man has sought to claim the glory that belongs only to God, or they assign to some part of His creation the glory that belongs to the Creator. And as the writer says in Romans 1, they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. But I want you to know that God cannot be removed from His throne, and He cannot be expelled from His creation. God sits high and He looks low. He crushed the uprising of the evil angels. He lit the fires of hell and assigned them to everlasting punishment. He kept His throne, brother. And long after the rebellion of man took place in the Garden of Eden, the psalmist declared in Psalm 97:9, "For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods." In Psalm 99:2, the psalmist said, "The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people." In Psalm 113:5, the psalmist said, "Who is like unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high?" He said in Psalm 113:4, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens." When angels and man have done their worst, God is still the Most High. He's still seated on the throne. He's still exalted far above every part of His creation and everything in that creation put together. When angels and men have done their worst, God is still unmoved. He still rules on high. God is the Most High. He sits high and He looks low. I want to show you the reach of His grace. My text declares, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. He sits high, but He looks low." I'm telling you that the attention of the Lord is captured by the lowly, the humble, the repentant, the submissive. The Bible says He knows the proud afar off. He keeps His distance from the proud. But He's got His eye on the lowly, the humble, the repentant, the submissive. God has got His eye on the lowly. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly." He keeps His distance from the proud, from the unrepentant, from the rebel. God is far from them. But that person that's lowly, that's humble, that's repentant, that's submissive, the Bible tells us twice in the New Testament, God resisteth the proud, but God giveth grace unto the humble. His eyes are on the lowly. He sits high. He looks low. I'm telling you that a repentant sinner gets the attention of God. Do you hear me? I said a repentant sinner gets the attention of God. For though the Lord is high, but He looks to the lowly. And that repentant sinner gets the attention of God. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." If there's a crushed spirit, if there's a broken heart, if there's a sadness and sorrow over sin, God is nigh to that person. He sees that person. He draws nigh to that person that has a repentant spirit. He sits high, but he looks low. The songwriter says, "From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, and yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin and so corrupt, God's hand reached further down than I could reach up." I'm telling you, brother, God sits high, but he looks low. And that sinner that comes to him, repenting of their sins, sorry for their sins, the hand of God can reach way down and pull that sinner out of the mire of sin and set him on a solid rock. Another songwriter said it like this: "The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord, it was so great, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demands, it seems so far. I cried, 'Dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are.' But he came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me." God sits high, but he looks low, and that repentant sinner gets the attention of God. And then I want you to know this, that every troubled saint gets the attention of God. You notice in my text tonight, or this morning, in Psalm 138:3, David said, "In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul." Get that. In the day when I cried, in that same day when I cried, hallelujah, God heard my prayer. In the day that I cried, you answered me. You strengthened me with strength in my soul. Notice in verse 7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me, and shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies." You will rebuke mine enemies. You will stiff arm mine enemies. "And thy right hand shall save me." Now you notice about these two scriptures. In verse 3, he's talking about his experience. "I cried, and God heard me in the very day that I cried." In verse 7, he's talking about his confidence. He says, "In my time of trouble, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." Verse 3, I'm looking back at what God has done. In verse 7, I'm looking for what God will do when I'm walking in the midst of trouble. I know what he has done. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In the day that I cried, he heard me. And I know that when I'm walking in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when in trouble." God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. The Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry. The Lord sits high, but he looks low. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry. Perhaps you can look back and see where one day you cried and God heard and answered your prayer. And I'm telling you, you look forward from where you are right now. You may be doing just right, just good right now, but look forward from where you are. There is a day of trouble just ahead of you. Oh yeah. And the same God that heard you when you prayed back there, He will hear you when you pray up there. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, the same God in the past will be the same God in the future. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Time don't change Him. Time don't diminish Him. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He heard me back there. I believe He'll hear me up there. When I'm walking in the midst of trouble. My mother-in-law had cancer several years ago. And every year she'd have to go back and have tests run to see if the cancer had reoccurred. She went back this one year and the test revealed a suspicious spot. So she had to go back to Duke University Hospital to get further tests about what was going on in her. And of course, it was a stressful time. And Judy had gone down to spend the night with her mother and go with her to the hospital the next morning. I think Kendall was living there, working in that area. Were you? I think Kendall was living there with them, working in that area. And it was a troubled household. It didn't look good. It seemed like that trouble had come to our door. They went to bed that night. Troubled household went to bed that night. But before sleep came, the Spirit came. Fell on Kendall in his bed. And he began to speak in a heavenly language. Got out of his bed. Began to intercede forcefully in a heavenly language. Walked down the stairs, paced back and forth in the hallway downstairs, just outside Sister Yates' bedroom door. Everybody in the house is awake, alert, listening. God is speaking in another language through Kendall. Back and forth he walks, forcefully interceding in another language. After about 15 minutes, the Spirit lifts. He goes back up to his bedroom and goes to bed. The next day, the trip is made to Duke University Hospital. The tests are done. And they come back negative. No cancer. I'm telling you, brother, that in the time of trouble, God will revive you. In the time of trouble, God who sits high looks low. In the time of trouble, God hears the prayers of His people. Praise God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. I'm telling you, the eyes of the Lord are searching right now. Running to and fro through this earth, looking right here on this assembly this morning to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ear is open unto their cry. If though the Lord sits high, but He looks low this morning and His eyes are searching for somebody He can help. Somebody that's lowly, somebody that's humble, somebody that needs Him, somebody that's crying to Him, somebody that's brokenhearted, somebody that has a contrite spirit, the Lord will move up close, brother. You hear me? God will move up close. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. I was talking to Sister Powers and him the other day about when my parents died, got the news that both of them had died in that car wreck. And brother, I'm telling you, it was a time of crisis. It was a time of trouble. And we come back home after the funeral. Well, during that funeral, some of you were there in that funeral. Never seen anything like it before in my life. The power of God fell in that funeral. And my, how the Lord comforted our hearts with the power of the Holy Ghost in that funeral. We come back home from all the things that had gone on. And for about a year in this church, it seemed like revival spirit was here about every time we gathered together in the house of God. It seemed like God just picked me up and carried me through that whole year. I mean, here I am dealing with the death of both of my parents, dealing with problems in my family. And God just picked me up by the power of the Holy Ghost and carried me through that year. Praise God. I'm telling you, God notices and He takes notice. He looks upon us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. And God, even though He sits high, He's looking low. And He offers help to those who cry to Him in their distress. He's nigh unto them that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad God hasn't vacated His universe. I'm glad He hasn't been expelled from His creation. I'm glad He's still here with us and still intervening, and His providence is still evident in the lives of His people. And God is still hearing and answering prayer. Hallelujah. God sits high, but God looks low. So I don't feel like, I'm worthy for God to help me. You're just the one He's looking for. My, my. So you don't know what I've done, preacher. I know but He knows, and He loves you. And where there is a repentant heart, where there is a brokenness, where there is confidence in the crisis, Jesus will always show up with a helping hand. Hallelujah. One of my favorite scriptures, while Sister Judy comes to the piano, Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. High glory to God. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can you say that this morning? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is not the ordinary kind of message I preach. In fact, I told the Lord when I felt the Lord just lead me this way, I said, Lord, this is, it's just not quite the kind of message that I normally preach. And if I preach this, you're going to have to help me. But I believe that the Lord had you in mind. Some of you right here in this service, I'm sure God had you in mind. He wanted you to know, no matter what you're going through, He sees. He knows. He offers help along the journey of life. He sits high. He looks low. Condescends to men of low estate. If anybody ever tells you God don't care, I want to tell you something. There's proof in Bethlehem's cradle when we couldn't come to Him. He came to us. glory. Oh, glory. We couldn't get to Him, but He came to us. God visited us. God dwelt among us. God came to where we were so that He could take us to where He is. I want us to stand this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you'll come to this altar, cry out to Him in repentance, Jesus will draw nigh and save you. If you're here this morning and You've been overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by life, by troubles, by cares. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is looking low this morning. Sitting on high, but He's looking low. And we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. We're going to open the altars for anybody that would feel like praying this morning. Give you a chance to come. Sing it, Sister Judy. Heart, soul, really soul. Jesus. Glory to God.